13 this morning, Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. I don't know if Ashley and James are coming back tonight, but if they are coming back tonight, I'd love for Madeline to sing. I might, if that's all right, brother, I might get two or three. I'd love for her to sing, maybe get Megan to sing, maybe a boy to sing, maybe Sheila. Got a bunch of these here that sing, and boy, they do. But I definitely want to hear Madeline. Yeah, it's their tradition to stand reading the Word of God. I should have told you that. I'm sorry. I'll be here the whole month of July. Amen. Sunday morning, Sunday night, the whole month of July, you come. Wednesday night, this brother's doing his Bible study. And I've got to go down to, where am I going Wednesday, honey? Franklin, North Carolina, preaching Wednesday night. So I'll be traveling a little bit on Wednesdays. But I'll be here, Lord willing, every service of the month of July. So you come. Support, back me up, I sure would appreciate it. Matthew chapter 13, verses 31 through 32, won't be long this morning. The Bible says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. We'll stop and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we bow in your great presence, I want to say, Lord, it is well with my soul this morning. It's all because of the finished work of Calvary. Thank you, Lord, for considering me. Thank you, Lord, for remembering me and looking at me on a daily basis. Thank you, Lord, for my study time and my worship time. I thank you, Lord, for what I feel down in my soul this morning. I thank you, Lord, that I'm surrounded by friends and family this morning. I thank you, Lord, most of all, that I feel your presence here. I ask, God, that you'd help me to preach with liberty. Help me preach with charity and love upon my heart. Lord, it's all because of you. I stand where I stand this morning. Help us now to receive the word of God. Apply it to our lives. Let's walk out of here differently. Change us and be more like you. And less like ourselves this morning. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've had this on my heart for a few days now, maybe a week. I was riding down the road and I was asking the Lord to show me what to preach. And I'm going to tell you what, this came in just like a flood. I about had to pull over the car and start writing down some things and some thoughts. And I could not preach this message a year ago. A year ago, I could not preach this message, but through God molding me and through some trials and tribulations that I've came through, I'm able to preach this now. This is a little bit harder, harsh, strong message than I usually preach, and I hope that this morning that you'll open your heart and take this. This might not be one of those shouting messages, but I believe that this message is needed in the day and hour that we are living in. I believe I'll probably, if the Lord lets me, preach this two or three different times in different churches. It's just been on my heart so heavy. I usually don't tell anybody what I'm going to preach, and I didn't tell them this, but I did tell a lot of my friends. I said, you need to come Sunday morning. I've got something from the Lord that I believe will help you, and I'm so glad that they are here this morning. As we look at this parable in Matthew chapter 7 here, he is likened in the kingdom of heaven. We are living in that kingdom. This is God's kingdom that he is building. The church age is why he came and why he died, was to call out sinners, to seek and save that which is lost. And he likens this church age to this parable, a mustard seed. A mustard seed, of course, is one of the smallest seeds that you could come up with. Me and my daddy raised tobacco for years out there in Leicester, and we'd get those tobacco seeds. And if you've ever sowed a tobacco bed, you'd throw those seeds and where they laid, and that's real small, and these big tobacco plants would come out of them. But a mustard seed is even smaller than that. But it looks like that this mustard seed grows and becomes something that it originally didn't start off to be. It did not become a mustard seed plant. It became a tree. It started growing up and didn't even look like what it started off. This church age started off with a few disciples. It started off with a few disciples getting persecuted, but they had a message and they had a desire in their heart to go forth and spread that message. But now we've got preachers, got private jets, Cadillacs. We've got staff. I looked over there at one church in Asheville. They had 9 pastors. I'm going to tell you, our churches have turned into something that it never started off to be. It's just changed. And I want you to understand that we need to, this tree nowadays in 2019 needs to be shook. It needs to be shaken. It needs to be shook from the very grounds up. And the only way that this tree can be shook is first of all by preaching the word of God. I'm telling you, that is what is needed in 2019. It's still God to call an old man of God to get on his knees and deliver the message of God. This ain't a place for jokes and laughters and stories. It's not the place to have a history lesson about America. It is a place to get on your knees and find a message from God from this King James Bible and deliver it with power upon your soul. We've got so many comedians. We've got so many storytellers. We got so many historians. We've got everybody mama called, yelly-backed baby kissers up there trying to please everybody. That'll never shake the tree. I'm telling you, we need some man of God to stand firm and still preach hell hot and heaven lovely. Still preach that there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end there is of his destruction. But I'm going to tell you, there is a way to heaven this morning. It is by the shed blood of the lovely Son of God. It is still by the cross. It's not a new way, but it's the same old way that was established 2,000 years ago. And we've tried to change it up, not only by preaching, but by praising. I'm going to tell you about praising God. Praising God comes from your spirit and not your flesh. In our churches right now, we've done this. Instead of saying amen, because the quietness of the deadness of our churches have scared the churchgoers to pieces, and they say we've got to fill this quietness of our backslid condition by this. So what we'll do is we'll take the things that they do at the ball games, at the golf courses, and we'll have these little claps, and we'll interrupt the quietness of the church by clapping our hands. It don't come from the flesh. It don't come. It comes from spirit. We don't mind to clap in church. We don't mind to laugh in church. But that ain't praising the Lord. Amen. Praising the Lord comes from your spirit. When your spirit overcomes your flesh, and it'll actually embarrass your flesh, it'll have your hands raising high. Maybe it'll have tears coming down your face. I'm telling you, we went to a camp meeting the other night. My old Pastor Larry got up there and started preaching. My lovely wife of 27 years stood up and started, "Woo! Woo! Woo!" Afterwards she said, "I guess I embarrassed you to death." I said, "If you could have stopped, you should have stopped, but you couldn't have stopped, so you should have done exactly what you should have done. We're never going to shake any trees until the people of God quit being so scared about raising their hand and praising the Lord." I don't know about you, but he just saved my soul. Amen. I think that's worth praising him over. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. He set my feet upon a rock. I'm going to try to get this clipped on my belly. Don't get in the way. Don't say nothing to anybody. You're the one who fed me. Amen. But we need to shake the very trees. These kingdom of God, this church age that we live in, we need to shake the trees. But preaching and praising by itself will never shake a tree. This is the most important thing, and please don't leave here without hearing this. Without his presence, it's all vain. If you don't have a touch of God on your preaching, you might as well sit down and just say, I don't got it today. If your flesh tells you, you know, I want to be part of this church, so I'm going to raise my hand. If it's your flesh, ma'am, please keep your hand down. But if you get to the place where that Spirit of God overcomes you and say, oh, God, what he's done for me, I can't help but praise him. I'm telling you, that's what's going to start shaking the tree. Amen. Shaking the tree. That was my introduction. I want to preach now on why do we need to shake the tree. I showed you how to shake it. I want to preach on why it needs to be shooken. Look at your scriptures there. First of all, I want to talk about those fowls. Those fowls. Those fowls are demonic presences in the house of God. We see those in the same chapter. We see that over there in verse 4, how those fowls eat up the seed. Those fowls and other, I've read commentaries said those fowls are weak Christians. I don't understand how that they just don't let the Bible interpret Bible. The same very chapter that fowls was the very instruments of the devil is the very same chapter that he's talking about these lodging inside this tree. And I couldn't preach this a year ago, but I've visited several churches now. I've visited with pulpit committees. I visited with deacons, and I want you to understand inside these trees, inside our modern day churches, they are workers of the devil, got theirself and they're lodging inside those trees. They've got such a grip down on side of those trees, and the very fowls of the air lodge in those places because nobody is shaking them out. Nobody is shaking them out. And they've got a hold on those things. I'm telling you, you get up and you start preaching the Word of God. You start preaching this. You start preaching against sin. You start preaching against sodomy. And you start preaching against alcoholism and all the things that's so ungodly in today's time. We don't even tell our children now who, if they're boys or girls. We're letting them make up their own mind. I'm telling you, young'un ain't got enough sense. They leave a house to pick up their own underwear. And we're going to let them decide whether they're a boy and a girl. I'm telling you. We ain't got enough God about us to shake those trees. So those fowls said, hey, I found me a lodging place. Found me a position. I'm in charge. But we start shaking those trees. You know what you'll start hearing? Quack! 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 They don't like that. They got to hold on tight. And that tree gets a shaking. And they burn down and they start hanging on. Listen. You say, who are you talking to? Get to preaching and see who starts going, quack, quack. They don't want that position. Look at the ones who start saying these things. These are things that you need to look for. I'm trying to help you in this modern day time. Look for people who start saying, this is my church. Let me tell you something. I've pastored two churches and neither one of them was my church. Amen. And I don't want to hurt your feelings here, but there ain't nobody's church in here. Amen. I don't understand how these birds could say they own that tree when God Almighty grew the tree. I'm telling you, Christ said himself that I will give myself for this church. I will build it upon this rock and the gates of hell should not prevail. But we've got these fowls going in there and saying, this is my church. I own this church and everything's got to be done the way that I want it to be done. But I want to go in there and shake those trees and get those demonic powers to fly away from the trees.
Amen.
Amen. Get away from the house of God. You say, boy, that's tough. Like I said, I couldn't preach this a year ago. But I've been through some things. And I've seen demonic presences on the deacon board playing the piano. I've seen them. And they've absolutely killed me and my family. So now I can preach this. That's where I'm going to go. I'm going to preach it. Why? Because I want the tree shook.
Amen.
The demonic presence. They built it. They own it. But I'm going to tell you, as soon as you get to shaking, you just hunker down. Not only I want you to look at the fowls, but I don't want you to look at the fruit. Now, when I started pastoring out here in Hendersonville, I didn't know much about apple trees. But I thought, well, since I'm out here, I'm going to start studying me some apple trees. And we had a brother in the church that owned a bunch of apple trees, and I asked him, I said, well, how do you pick those apples? And he said, we just get a ladder and get up there and pick them. And I thought, now, they got to be a better way than that now. So I went online, and I got to looking up places to how they get them apples out of them trees. And you wouldn't believe it. I found me a video how they do it in them big old things. They got this big old tractor comes up, and they hold on to that apple tree. You know what they do to it? They shake it. And it's amazing. When you start shaking that tree, what starts to fall? But I'm telling you, them fowls don't want to shoot because they are in charge of the fruit that falls. Oh, we don't want that fruit to fall down because they've scared everything else out of that tree. And they've got everything else living on the ground because they're in charge. They own the tree, and they got everything else on the ground. And the people that are on the ground that's been there for years are still on the ground with their heads down looking for old rotten fruit that their grandmas and grandpas finally had and said, boy, that grandma and grandpa, praise the Lord, and they're still digging down there. And the file says if they get strength up from the real fruit from heaven, that they'll kick us out of our positions. So we're going to regulate what falls to the ground. Oh, you want a trickster and a joke teller? Sure, you can have that fruit. If you want somebody to come and have a puppet show, sure, you can have that fruit. If you want you a water slide and play like that, sure, you can have that fruit. But oh no, that man of God is going to get up there and love you and preach the word of God. No, 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 you can't have that fruit. They control the fruit. And our people are so weak and anemic because they're not getting the fruit. The church has fruit. It's this word of God. It's the Spirit of God. Amen. I don't come to church to play. I come to church to worship. Amen. I don't mind having a meal. If you want to have one all the time, I help you eat it. But I don't come here to eat. I come here to worship. You know why? You know why, Brother James? Because I need the fruit. Because I'm going to face hell all week out there. And my girl and my boy, and my girl and my boy needs prayed for. And if I don't have the fruit, who's going to pray for them? If I'm not singing the songs of Zion around the house, who's going to encourage my wife? I got up the other morning and I come through there and I got to singing. And I think it was her. She said, Anthony, it's a little too early for that now. And I said, well, it's just in my heart. You know why? Because I've been standing up. And you know what happens to them old-time churchgoers? They're down there. You wouldn't believe the widows has called me and crying their eyes out and saying, Anthony, we miss you. Anthony, we love you. Anthony, what's going on? And it's like knives and staggered in my heart. But every once in a while, if you shake that tree, they're like Isaac Newton. That apple hits them on the head, and they get their eyes from being here on their problems and on this world and on the rotten fruit. And they get their eyes up and say, oh God, the real fruit does fall from heaven. He still does love us. He still cares for us. There's still something in 2019 that will withstand my soul. Help me go another mile. I'm telling you, we need to shake the tree. Shake your tree. Need to shake your tree. Thirdly, and I'm done this morning. Not only the fowls, the fruit, but I want you to notice the foliage. See them fowls, when you start shaking that tree. Now, when I was a little boy, we used to climb trees. And I didn't have a brother. I had two older sisters. And my oldest sister, my back's hurting me. I can't bend over that far. My oldest sister, Priscilla, wanted to play school all the time. But she always wanted to be the teacher. Now, she took turns letting me be the teacher. I'd play school with her. But who wants to go to school, you know, during the winter and then come home summer and play school? That ain't no fun at all, is it? I didn't play with her. But my middle sister, Debbie, was a tomboy. And I love my sister, Debbie. I still do. And me and her climbed trees. And We had one time one of the biggest rotten tomato fight you ever seen. Boy, we had a great time. We had to take the tomato steaks out of the field, you know, it's time for it to, it's all done. Well, I seen all them rotten tomatoes, and I seen my sister over there. It just made common sense to me what to do with them. There she is. Son, I got to hurling those. Well, she didn't take it. Son, she got to hurling. She's 5 years older than me, so she had a good arm, you know. Son, we had a good time. But I remember we'd climb trees together, and we'd climb little old trees that you could shake. And we'd get up there and talk, and my sister starts shaking them trees. She's trying to knock me out of them. And you know what you do when it's, well, you hunker down, you get a hold on that thing, you know. And you hunker down, you grab that thing. But we don't understand that them demons and devils that has moved inside our modern day churches and took over, they're constraining the new growth. They got such a hold on that they are making the way the tree grows. You say, I don't believe that. I walked out through there in Leicester, and you can walk for miles of deer hunting, and I can't sit in deer hunting. That's why I've never killed a deer, because Dad takes me deer hunting, and what I do, I get up and walk. And Dad can sit in one position for 12 hours, you know, not move, and he kills a lot of deer. Well, I don't. I get to shooting squirrels with 30-30, you know, shooting pine cones. I mean, brought a gun, I'm going to shoot something, you know. But I've never shot a deer, but I've had a good time. But you get to walking out through those woods, and all of a sudden you'll see an oak tree, and it's made funny. And it's got a big old divot in it. And you get, I love that. I love to look at God's creation. I get to look into that, and I think, oh, I seen a mushroom in the yard today. Yes, them. I was like, they thought I was stupid. I was like, man, that's the prettiest mushroom I've ever seen. But anyway, that tree had a big divot. You know what it was? It's barbed wire fence. Y'all seen that? They put them on the side of the tree. But after a year, it molded the growth of that tree. And don't you understand that these fowls have moved inside our churches under the demonic presence that they're under, and they've got such a hold on those limbs that they say, you can't grow that way. I'm going to decide the way you grow. We're going to grow toward this world. I want to push you toward the things of this world. I don't want you to grow up tall and strong so that you can stand on your own. I always want you to rely on my presence and rely on my opinion. I don't want you to be able to grow strong and tall up to heaven and wave when the wind blows the glory of God. Why is that? Because I want to constrain the way you grow. And I've seen it all through our churches. You see it by the singing groups that come in. We had a singing group one time. I pastored a little old church over in Fairview. I loved that little church. And my song leader, he said, we got a singing group going to come. And I said, all right, Mike, if you back them, you know, I trust you. If you back them, I don't know them. I said, but if you back them, say they're going to be good for us, tell them to come on. Well, they come on, and they showed up in all their little matching vests. And right then I thought, I don't know. That was my first question. I thought, I don't know about this. This ain't solid gold, you know. This ain't, you know, we ain't trying out for something. I thought, well, okay. He said, let's go down there and pray. And I thought, well, I might have been wrong about these old boys. I said, that's great. Let's go pray. We got down there. Brother Jamie went with him. We got down there in that prayer room. And an old boy said, he gave me the itinerary. He said, now we'll open up a few songs. And he said, then we're going to take a break. And during that break, you can take up a love offering. And he said the word love offering five times before we prayed. And it took every Christian part of me when we took that up to say, you know, God's laid it on my heart to give that to a missionary. And look right at him, just go. You know? They set up all these churches, probably this size or maybe even smaller. They set up big speakers like we was at an AC/DC concert. And he turned that on, and suddenly, I mean, I moved back. I was on the front. I moved all the way to the back. And by the end of the concert, he asked my wife, she got on to me. I was sitting there like this. I thought, I'm not deaf, but I'm going to be. And they got done. We took them up the law of offering, and we never invited them back. I've seen them pull in their buses bigger than their church, suffering for Jesus. And their bus costs more than the church does. Why can't we just get a couple of youngins up out of this church right here and say, hey, sing what's on your heart. Amen. What's on your heart? Yes. Tell me a battle that you went through with the Lord this week. You don't need to travel around this country and dress up like the world and sing like a world and get your junk out of the world and think you're going to come in here and bless anybody. I'm telling you, they're constrained in the very new growth. You look back at these beautiful children back here. You wouldn't believe what the devil would love to snatch them and ruin their lives. And if they don't have a man of God to open this book and tell them the truth and not tell them, oh, this is pretty and good and Jesus is love and Jesus is love, but there's so much more to this book about living right, walking right, dying out to Him daily.
Amen.
What are they going to do? The new growth will never come. Told you I raised a lot of tobacco. About really told my country right there. About called it backer. But I'll just say it. We raised a lot of backer over in Leicester.
Amen.
And they got what they gets called up on. It's called suckers. Y'all might not know what that is. My wife, she's a city girl. She's from Maryland. She hates when I say that. She was born there, and then about 2 days old, she came back down here. But I have a good time about that, calling her a Yankee anyway. But she has they have suckers grow up. And what they do is they stunt the growth of tobacco. And what nobody wants in church is for the man of God to take this sharpened two-edged sword and go down their aisle and cut their suckers off. It may hurt when it's getting cut off, but I can say, hey, I'm looking for the longer picture. I'm looking for the better growth. I'm looking way out there when them girls are going to be teenagers and when they're going to go through things, and you're not going to be there. But if they can remember something that I preached that will come to their minds and help them be true and pure, it's worth everything. Shake the trees. Who can shake it? The preachers can, but you can.
Amen.
You ought to try to battle by yourself. Fight when nobody's behind you. Enter in the lion's den by yourself and everybody biting you. Everybody stabbing you. And all you want to say is, I'm just trying to do right. I'm just trying to do right. Will you please let me love you? Shake the tree. I'm going to shake it. I'm going to shake it. I might be pastor of the outhouse down the road, but I'm going to shake a tree. Amen. One day, I like your song, as I was thinking on unseen things above, my Jesus came to me and filled me with His love. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. I used to have some deacons that walk and talk with me. But since I started preaching, they don't have nothing to do with me. Oh, I want to die on this battlefield. I want to die in this war. I want to die on this battlefield with glory in my soul. Stand with me this morning. A lady come and play the piano this morning. I'm going to ask you one question. Does anybody want to help me shake his trees? We're going to need his presence. You can't do this out of the flesh. Does anybody want to help me shake trees? Does anybody even see the problem? Amen, sister. Do you actually even see the problem? You think everybody that walks in these churches, your friend and loves you? I ask God to open your eyes. Do you see the problem? Do you want to help shake trees? It's going to take preaching. I can't preach without somebody praying for me. It's going to take praising, not from the flesh. Praising comes from the Spirit. It's going to take His presence. Our churches, I wish we'd invite Him to come. He's the one that needs to show up. He's the main one. I've preached the power of God and anointing all over me. I couldn't hardly get a word out and had six people there before. And I preached over 200 and thought I was dying and thought I was pulling the horse through the field instead of plowing with the horse. You say, it's in numbers. How many people go to the Super Bowl? You think God's in that? You say, it's in money. We spend more money in America on diet dog food than we did on missionaries. You think it's in money? Oh, that church has got a bunch of people. Dog swells up when it's dead. Don't mean that it's growing. Open your eyes to what's going on in the house of God nowadays. It's going to take men and women and families to sell out their lives to God and get in there and back the man of God and shake the trees by praising and praying and asking God to have His presence with us each and every time. And maybe after years and years of shaking those trees, the fowls will finally get the picture that they're not wanted, needed, or accepted in the house of God, and they'll flee. And we can invite the power of God back in our churches. But until then, they will be a hindrance and a fight and a wedge, and we won't be able to worship until they leave. Or they accept the Lord as their Savior, either one. But until then, it'll be a fight. I know one thing, I like preaching at this church. Amen. I sure do enjoy it. Amen. Sure do like preaching here. Amen. I don't think I got one frown. I preached some places and they're